Good morning, Bridge City Church, White Oak Campus. How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Awesome. Listen, if I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the pastor here at the White Oak location of Bridge City Church, and I say it every single Sunday. I'm so excited you decided to spend your Sunday morning here with us, worshiping God and praising His name. And every week I say this, and I'm going to continue to say, there's literally no place I would rather be this side of heaven than right here with you all, worshiping God and praising His name. And it's an honor and a privilege, and I'm humbled to be able to continue our Seek First series with you today. And if you've never heard me preach before, you might need to know some ground rules. So if I ask a question and I ask for an answer, I expect it, right? Okay? Do you understand that?
Yes.
Look at the, you're doing so good. You're doing so good. And if I ask you to raise your hand, and you should raise your hand, you raise your hand, right? How many of you know how to raise your hand? Look, you're doing so good. All right. Now, January, we start things off. We kick things off. It's the rest of the year starts, and we usually make some changes, or we at least think about some changes. So how many of you in the last 3 weeks or 3 months have thought about, I really need to make some changes physically in my life? Anybody thought of that? Okay. Now, when we make these changes, you might not be just like me, but this is what happens. If I say, I need to make this change, I instantly start thinking of Vincent's Pizza with extra grease on the bottom of the pan and making sure, that's dipping sauce if you didn't know. You get pepperoni and then it comes with dipping sauce, free of charge. It's the Pittsburgh Mon Valley au jus. Okay, that's what I start thinking of. Or I get people handing me bags of venison jerky, which I'm very grateful for. You can continue to do that whenever you'd like. It's high protein. But whenever you make a conscious effort, you feel like everything's coming against you, so you don't even move forward. Now, let's jump into one of our texts today, Matthew 6. Matthew 6, 31 through 33, it says, therefore, don't be anxious. Everyone say, do not be anxious.
Do not be anxious.
Easier said than done, right? Some of you are anxious right now, thinking about what questions I'm going to ask and ask you to respond to later. I get it. I know. Don't say, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to who? You! If we seek these things out, there's lots of words that we need to focus on within the red letters of Jesus here. So we're going to talk about a few of those words. Number one is seek. What does it mean to seek? To inquire and investigate, to get to the bottom of a matter, to come to a resolution. It doesn't say to make a resolution. It says to come to one. I hate New Year's resolutions. I don't make one or two or three. I do not like them. I want to see it completed, not just written down like, I'd really like to do this in 12 months. I set goals. I said things that I want to see happen. I submit things to God, but resolutions, I want to see it come to a resolution. I don't want to just make one. Is that clear? Okay, so we're to seek Him. We're to get to the bottom of the matter at hand. Whatever He has placed on our hearts or spoken to us or asked us to do, we're supposed to figure it out and get to a part where we know we've come to the bottom of the matter. We figured it out. Second is first. See what I did there? Now, you might think, we don't need to talk. We know what first means. But do you? First means that you go first in time, place, order, and importance. Whatever you put first matters. It's important. And it's consistently there. The first thing you do in the morning, that's part of your routine. Are you always doing that? Are you always putting God first in every area of your life, not just Sunday mornings from 9:30 until 10:30? Or from some people in this room, from 6 a.m. till like 1. Are you putting him first? Do you understand what kingdom really means? Rule of the King Jesus in our hearts, our lives, and our physical health. Righteousness, divine approval by God, right standing with God. Is he the king of your world, and are you a part of his kingdom, or are you just allowing for him to be a part of yours every once in a while?
No.
Thank you. I don't know who said it, but yes and amen. It was a young, small voice from the corner. No! That little boy's parents are going to remind him later, like, remember what you said at church? Remember? In front of many witnesses? Right? He's like, oh, man, he's right. So we're going to unpack all of these things today throughout our time. But us understanding that us focusing on our physical health, our physical being, is important. It's important, and not just talking about it. Let's unpack why it's important. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. Here we go. Don't you realize that your body is a temple for the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so that you must honor God with your body. Let's look at Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. Now, do you think that the Holy Spirit wants to live in a dump? And you're like, wait a second. Did he just like low-key I'm talking to myself too. In everything, there's things in our life that we put in that I don't believe would be on the coffee table in the Holy Spirit's house. Spiritually speaking, there's things that we let in. What do we let in? What are we eating? What are we eating? Are we eating things that are healthy? Because whatever we eat is going to come out in one way or another. Well, one way, definitely. Other ways, possibly. You eat Chipotle, Chipotle's coming out. You get what I'm saying? Do I need to go into further breakdown of this? What music are you listening to? What music's coming in? Because eventually it's going to come out in some way, shape, or form. What books are you reading? Listen, I get the whole music thing. I graduated in 03 from McKeesport Area School District. I grew up in the greatest era of hip-hop ever, and basketball, and football, and hockey. All of it was just great. MJ's the GOAT. You can come at me. I'm good. I'll defend it. But listen, whatever you put in, it's going to come out in some way, shape, or form. So I changed things. I don't listen to the same rap music I used to listen to. It's edited now. Because every once in a while, you just need a beat. Like, you just need a beat. And if you do, there's great Christian rap out there. I have lots to recommend. But sometimes you just need to go to the old. And I get it. But it's going to come out in some way. Do you think that the Holy Spirit is dwelling in a place where he deserves to dwell currently? I can't answer that question for you. Only you can. You instantly, when I said that, knew the things that you need to change. You instantly figured out, knew the things that you need to change in your life so that you know that the Holy Spirit is dwelling in a place that is honoring to him, and you're honoring him in every single way. So write it down. Ask the question. And be honest with yourself. What if we looked at physical discipline as a spiritual muscle? What if we looked at it that way? What if we truly looked at it like, when I go to church, I'm working out. When I pick up my Bible, I'm working out. When I pray, I'm working out. When I worship, I'm working out. quite literally for some of us. Got to get your steps in. That's why I walk back and forth, and I'm a pacer. I just am. If I'm on the phone, I'm either driving or walking or talking. It's what I do. It's who I am. Can't change that. But what if we looked at building this discipline in your physical life as you're working out spiritual muscles? How do you think that that would translate to other areas of your faith and your walk? Listen, let's just get this out of the way. Does anybody know what the hardest piece of equipment is in the gym? The door. The front door is the hardest thing. I talk about it all the time. Somebody said during the first worship experience, your car. Like, you leave your car at the gym? See? I don't get to park inside. But you have to create the disciplines and get beyond the first idea of it or the thoughts. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 25. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but the only one who gets the prize, only one person gets the prize. So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. We work and discipline ourselves to win the race, to one day hear, well done, good and faithful servant. So I run, we run, all of us run with a purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I might be disqualified. Hope does not change your life. Habits do. Healthy habits. I hope that the gym just happens this year. I hope it happens. You know, people know the routines and the habits of people. They're human, right? They know. If you walk into Costco right now, when you walk into Costco, there are vitamins after vitamins after vitamins after apple cider vinegar and probiotics and this. And then over here, there's scales. And right after that, there's some self-care stuff. You know what it was just a little over 2 weeks ago? Candy and crackers and cheese trays and fruit and hams. They had a section when you walked in the door, just ham. Why? Because the habits of us are so easy to see and read. So what is the habit that you need to create this year? What is the spiritual discipline that you need to create? Because remember, hope is not a strategy. It's not. But most of us live there. I hope to do this. I hope to do that. No. If you want to change your life, change your habits and be consistent. Most of us, we get into a good routine and a good habit, and then once we start seeing some victory, we're like, oh, all right, I'm going to relax. I'm going to chill a little bit. Oh, I need to start stretching more because my lower back's been hurting. And then you start stretching, and then you start feeling better. You're like, I'm done stretching. I'm not stretching no more. Or I need to sleep differently because I can't get out of bed. Whatever it is, you stop once you start feeling better. You don't push through to actually get better in that area of your life. I'm going to read the Bible in 2 weeks. No, you're not. And if you do, you're not going to retain anything. How do we make sure that these things that we're setting are actually going to happen? Make them obtainable in our lives. I'm going to stop drinking pop. Well, why don't you tell somebody about it? Tell the person that buys you your pop to stop buying it and see if that, well, then I'll really have to do it. I did all of these things. Rachel would ask me all the time, Nick, how much pop do you drink? One glass a day. That's it. It was one really big glass that I kept refilling over and over and over again. I didn't lie to her. I did not lie. I spoke to counsel. My counsel sat in the second row. I was like, is that a lie? He said, no, she didn't ask the question correctly. I answered the question she asked. If you want to set a goal to do that, how do we do this? How do we make these things happen? Number one is we got to make them obtainable. We have to make these things obtainable. We're going to be able to do it. And it's obvious the things that you know you need to change in your life. You already know these things. If I asked you, what do you need to change or what habit do you need to create, you would know it. Make it obvious, make it objective, and make it obtainable. I'm going to lose 100 pounds in the first quarter of 2026. And you, no, you're not. Unless you're dropping off a bag somewhere that weighs 100 pounds, you're going to lose it. And even if you did, that's extremely unhealthy. Extremely. And you're like, how does he know this? Because I've lost over 200 pounds over the last 12 years. Okay. I'm not asking you for praise. I'm just telling you I lived it. And you know how I started to lose the weight? Because somebody decided that it was a good idea to take me to an all-you-could-eat Eaton Park brunch buffet and say, hey, Nick, I'd like to talk to you about your lifestyles. As I'm knee-deep in bacon and hash browns and scrambled eggs and gravy and biscuits. I'm like, hey, thanks so much for bringing me here. This was great. This is like taking an alcoholic to the liquor store and say, hey, I'd like to talk to you about this right here in the whiskey aisle. It was a 12-year process. Now, 6 years into that 12-year process, I got a horrible bone infection, and it changed my appetite drastically, and all I wanted to eat for 6 months was avocados. I don't want you to go that route, but I've been there. And whenever I gained all that weight because football was over and I wasn't having two-a-days and you weren't running and doing this and having structured meal plans and all those things, everything just happened. I stopped eating during the day. I ate at 9 o'clock at night when I got home from work, and then I would eat the rest of the night until I went to bed, and then I'd start over. Make an obvious, objective, and obtainable goal. And that day at Eaton Park, you know what was said to me? This is more spiritual than it is physical. The Holy Spirit wants to dwell within you. That was over 12 years ago. Probably 16, 17 years ago. Make it real. You don't need better goals. You need better habits and processes to get there. Don't start with a goal that is not obtainable. Make sure it's realistic. I'm going to have a fully vested 401k by the end of the year, and that Ferrari I've been looking up, it's going to happen. No. It's not. Maybe it will for you, but it's not for me. I don't fit in those. I just don't. That's the only reason I'm not getting one. I don't fit. Hebrews 10:25. Not abandoning our own meeting together, as is the habit of some people, but encouraging one another. And all the more, as you see the day drawing near. May it not be our habit to neglect our time together. May it not be something that we do. Let's encourage one another. Let's really empower one another. Let's challenge one another. You're so much more likely to succeed if you share with somebody else the goal that you're setting forth. I think it's over 40-some percent. I'll get to the exact statistic later, but it's astronomical how much more successful you'll be if you'll tell somebody. Pray with me, believe with me, help me, encourage me. Habits are the same thing. If we communicate, hey, it's a new habit I'm trying to reach, I'm trying to do, somebody else is going to help you. I have somebody that I've communicated with, hey, I want to get better at riding, cycling, bicycle. I want to get better at climbing hills. And we haven't set the plan in action, but hey, we're going to go climb every time we go ride. We're going to go climb at least one hill. Now, I haven't ridden with him this year or the end of last year because I don't want to go ride any hills. I just don't want to. But it's soon I'm going to. And we're going to ride a hill. Every time we ride, we're going to ride at least one hill. It's like a real one. Luke 2:52. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all people. This is a verse that I've prayed over Lennon every single day of his life. And this is because I learned it from Pastor Rick's mom. It was the first thing she ever prayed over him when she held him as a baby. And she prayed that over her kids, and they've all turned out pretty good. So I figured that was something I was going to do. But what if we looked at every area of our life that we want to grow in wisdom and favor and stature before God and man? What if we looked at that for our physical life? I want to grow in wisdom and favor and stature before God and man when it comes to my physical life. God, show me the areas that I need to work on. God, I want to grow in wisdom and favor and stature before you and man whenever we're talking about relationships. I want to know more about myself. I want to know more about others, and I want to know more about how to care for people. I want to know more about what it looks like if I spoke Luke 2:52 over my emotional health, my spiritual health. What does it look like if you spoke Luke 2:52 over your financial health? Seriously, you did that. I want to grow in wisdom and favor and stature before man. Has anybody ever said that they wanted to see financial things grow in her life, not just money, but the ability to manage it? I'm the only one? Okay. Okay. There's four now. Okay. Nobody else. Nobody else likes money. God, did you hear that? Nobody else likes it or wants anything to do with it. Listen, if you're somebody in this room and you've seriously made the statement, I need to get better in my financial walk, January 17th, the stewardship workshop. Now, I want to talk to two groups of people here right now. There's groups of people in here right now. You're fine. You've been managing your finances good. You know what it looks like to be a steward. You know what it looks like to walk out and honoring God in that area of your life. That's wonderful. I want you to still make your time available for January 17th. Why? Because you need to learn how to train other people to do that. 2 Timothy 2:2 is our verse that our church was launched on 43 years ago, that you take what you've heard and seen me share in front of many witnesses and pass it on to other like-minded people. If you are good financially, I want you to come and learn how to help others be good. You might be in this room and you might be struggling. You might be getting, the world might just be kicking you over and over and over and over and over again, and you feel like all you have above water is your nose. This is for you too. Why? Because when you put God first, when you seek him and you get to the bottom of a matter, you're saying he's the boss, he's the king, this is his kingdom, and I want to be a part of it. So, if you're fearful to walk into this meeting, that's normal. The scariest meeting I ever walked into, ever, was before Rachel and I got married, and we walked into Rob and Sue Benedetti's house so that they could go over our finances and our budget. And when I walked in there, I was scared to death that Rob was going to say, hey, listen, all you can afford is Turner's Tea Crates. They make great couches and ramen noodles. You could switch in between beef and chicken. And maybe you can have shrimp ones every once in a while, but that's going to be your meals. That's what you're going to eat. So what's your sodium levels? We walked out of that meeting encouraged, empowered, equipped. Why? Because the first thing that went on our budget was we were going to honor God. Now, could we always walk that out? No, but it was us seeking him first and looking at him first. So this is your opportunity to do that. This is your opportunity to draw a line in the sand and say, hey, 2026 isn't going to be like 2025 was or 2024 was. And if you're scared to go to this, I'll be there. Come sit with me. Rachel and I are going to be right there. We're going to be sitting right in the front row. Maybe we'll sit in the back row. Maybe we'll sit in the middle, wherever you want to sit. If you want to sit with us, sit with us. Because there's always something for me to learn. There's always something for Rachel to learn. So please make every effort to be there. And I want you to do it on purpose, not because I'm pressuring you to do so. I don't want to pressure you into anything. I want you to make purposeful decisions that are going to affect your life so that other people's lives will be affected both in and through your life. What if we approached every area of our life knowing that we need to do things on purpose? It is not good to go to Costco the day before fasting starts. It's just not good. It's not. Be purposeful with everything. Let's talk about a couple people that are really purposeful. Pastor Rick's really purposeful in some areas. That man eats salmon. Like, every time I'm near him, he's eating salmon, broccoli, and rice. I'm like, how much salmon do you buy, sir? He's like, like four things a week, but I was blessed and highly favored last week. It was half off at Aldi. I said, man, favor's not fair. Speak Luke 2:52 over your grocery shopping trip. Yeah. Let's be purposeful. Let's be people that do everything on purpose. Pastor Rick, great example of that in my life. For all of us today, let's talk about Daniel. Let's talk about who Daniel is and the things that he did on purpose. Daniel 1, verse 5, but Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and wine given to them by the king. He asked the chief of staff for permission not to eat these unacceptable foods. King Nebuchadnezzar was a brutal, mean, evil guy, and he was trying to take the best of the best so that he could indoctrinate them and he could adapt them to fit into his culture, his kingdom. And Daniel was a prisoner. He was young. He was impressionable. He was somebody that had the world at his disposal, but he was purposeful. Let's think about this. This young man, a teenager, had a never-ending all-you-could-eat buffet, and he said, no, thank you, I'm good. I'm living on purpose for a bigger purpose. Could you imagine seeing a teenage boy say no to an all-you-could-eat buffet? If they don't, now don't think, well, he doesn't like, my child doesn't like Chinese. They would say no to an all-you-could-eat Chinese buffet. I'm talking about everything. What's your teenage boy's favorite food? Shout it out. All you could eat, and I'm not talking about CeCe's pizza. I'm talking about a real, like Minio's, Rockaway, Aiello's, Vincent's, Driftwood. I'm talking about some high caliber pizzas. Don't be Googling Driftwood now. It's a great pizza place, okay? I'll put you on to some things. Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and the wine given to them by the king. He asked the chief of staff for permission not to eat those unacceptable foods. Daniel 6, verse 10. But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with its windows open toward Jerusalem. He prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to God. It doesn't say that he started praying after the fact. It didn't say that he was praising God just because. No, he continued to do what he always did. What are the habits of your life that you always do or you want to be known for always doing?
Helping people.
Start helping more. Let's be really real. What do you want people to say in your obituary? Start living it now. I thought Pastor Rick was kidding the first time he said that. I want you to write your obituary. I thought he was kidding until I got a very threatening text message. You did not write your obituary. I would take it very seriously that you don't want to be a part of our meetings any longer. I was like, I'm writing it right now. I thought he was kidding. I didn't think he was serious. I wrote my obituary like 13 years ago. I'll read it to you one day. It's really cool to see that when you put some things in your focus and you start doing things on purpose, that God aligns that with his plan for you in your life. What are the habits that you want to have? What are the habits you want to move forward with? Galatians 5:23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's a gift from Him. Self-control is a gift from Him. Do we always walk in that gift? No, we all fail. But knowing that it's not just by your strength, it's not just by your might, it's not just by you working harder and white-knuckling it. It's a gift from Him. To have self-control means to have dominion within, power. It's a gift. Who do you want to become? Become who you want to become now. Don't wait until you have to be that. Oh, I'm going to start eating healthier whenever the doctor tells me to. That's too late. You can make those changes. That's great. But why don't you be proactive instead of reactive? How many people in the room, you want to be married one day? You want to be a husband? You want to be a wife? Anybody? Okay, be that now. Be the man of God that you need to be now, not whenever you have to be. Be a great wife now. Create those habits now. Teenagers, I'm speaking to you as well. Start to make daily habit changes so that you can move forward. Listen, we have our minds are flipped sometimes. We think, oh, I'm just gonna do really good during this season, or I'm gonna do really good during January because there's prayer and there's fasting and there's worship nights. And we have one tonight at Brighton Heights at 6 p.m. We have prayer and fasting kicking off Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 6 a.m. here in this room. We'll pray. And then Wednesday night at 7, we'll pray. I'm going to do really good in January because there's lots of things to do. Or I'm going to eat really good in January because we're fasting. Or some of us think, oh, I'm going to do really good between Christmas and New Year's. It has nothing to do with what you eat between Christmas and New Year's. It has everything to do with what you eat between New Year's and Christmas. The other 11 months. We flip things around in our mind. We're going to talk more moving forward, like the next few weeks, about resting and what that looks like. But I want to read this verse to you today. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. It says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the verse that oftentimes you hear at funerals. And guess what? If you hear this at a funeral and they're speaking it for that person, yes, that's wonderful. They got the ultimate rest, eternity with Jesus. But I serve a God, we serve a God that says, I want you to experience heaven on earth. If you're in this room today and you are tired, you're getting beat up by the world, you're weary, you've been laboring over all of these things in your life, I'm going to ask you, have you come to Jesus yet? Have you given him a try? Have you repented of your past and asked for him to be the leader of your future? Have you taken your seat at the table yet as a son or a daughter so that you can experience rest and a peace that goes beyond all understanding and you're able to move forward on purpose, not by accident? If you don't have that day, that time, that place, I'm asking that today become that for you. And you may be fearful about what the next step may be, but if you don't have that day, that time, that place, I'm going to ask you to do one of the bravest things in the world and slip your hand up to heaven and say, that's me. I've never received him as my Lord and Savior. I've never repented of my past and asked for his forgiveness and received it and then asked him to be Lord and leader into my future. If you don't have that day, that time, we want to pray with you. We want to encourage you. We want to empower you and equip you to move forward in your walk with Jesus. Anyone at all? Maybe you're just like me and you're fearful to raise your hand. There's a card on the seat in front of you. If you take your phone and tap on that card, it'll lead you to a page that you can communicate with us that you want to make Jesus the forgiver of your past and the leader into your future. For the rest of us, let's get outside of these walls and go invite as many people as possible that need to hear the gospel message. And I want you to think about the habits that you need to create in your life. Are you going to write them down? Are you going to write down how you want to grow in your relational health and your physical health and your mental and financial health and your spiritual health? If you want those things, then you need to make a plan. And we have what are called RPM forms on our website that will help you write down a plan. Write down an action plan. Start creating some new habits for the year. Focus on a new habit, not what the outcome's going to be. Write it down. Make actions. Take actions towards what you want to become. You can't do what you don't define. If you don't define it, you're going to fail every time. Father God, I thank you so much for everyone that could hear my voice both in person and online. Lord God, I pray that you would help each of us to move forward in our walk with you. God, may each and every one of us know the areas of our life that we need to make changes and know the areas of our life that we need to create new habits, Lord. God, I pray for the physical health of everyone that can hear my voice. And God, may we continue to call you Lord and leader of every area of our life.